Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today,
I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Now, but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the door.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio Live. This is the 11th day of March, 2024, premiering in Austin, Texas. How appropriate. A new movie from Amos Films, a documentary, The Truth versus Alex Jones. According to the description, centers on families of the victims of the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting. They take Alex Jones, a conspiracy theorist, to court for spreading lies about the event being a hoax. Now, it's debuting today, March 11th, 2024, Austin, Texas. And what we have here, The Truth versus Alex Jones, is I'm given to believe an expose that Wolfgang Halbig, who's a former Florida state trooper, former U.S. Customs agent, former school principal, and nationally recognized school safety expert, is central to the discussion. Well, Wolfgang has been doggedly determined to expose the truth that Sandy Hook was a sham. And, of course, that's completely 100% consistent with my own research, including the book I published, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, in 2015, with 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008. That there were no teachers or students there, and that it had been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where we even had the manual for the FEMA exercise, which was included as Appendix A. Wolfgang and I, in fact, traveled together to Newtown in 2014. We visited the Northwest Connecticut United Way, where they were supposed to have funds that had been contributed available for public inspection, and yet 7 or 8 Newtown cops show up to physically block Wolfgang from entering the United Way to review the documents that were supposed to be legally available to the public. We traveled to the site where the school had been, which was reduced to dirt clods at that point in time. That evening, we spoke before the Newtown School Board. Each of us had 3 minutes to present. Wolfgang went first. I went second. You can still find those online. He's a good man. I'm very supportive. And if you want further background and how My earlier research has been substantiated. For over 2 years now, I've been in contact with participants in the scam, including Margaret Alice Cottle, who is cast as Emily Parker, and Victoria Relio, who is cast as Vicky Soto, primarily through an intermediary, Stephen Lucia, who's perhaps the single most knowledgeable figure about all the participants and all the roles they played. For over 2 years, we have been in contact. I did an interview with SGT Report entitled Never Speak of This, in which I explained our relationship and offered photographs of the girls who are alive and well and doing quite well, thank you, of Steve as well, and what I had learned from them, including that the school had actually been closed in 2006, that none other than the Attorney General Eric Holder had traveled to Newtown to offer the community $114 million to participate in a drill that was supposed to exemplify for the American people what might happen if we don't take guns away from the public. They had auditions for the roles. They signed non-disclosure agreements. They got fringe benefits up the gazelle, including pay no taxes, free college tuition. And indeed, of course, as most of you are aware, the donations from a gullible public poured in between $27 and $130 million divided by the 26 families. That's $1 to $5 million for having feigned having lost a child at Sandy Hook. Completely outrageous. Well, SGT Report did a very nice interview with me, and indeed, we did a sequel on the destruction of justice in the United States. Here's a part, by the way. They had the exercise at Sandy Hook right on their schedule for 12-14-2012. The whole state was in on it. From the governor to the lieutenant governor to the Connecticut State Police to the school board to Newtown. And it was orchestrated by the Obama administration, as I'm going to explain.
Hey, friends. Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks so much for click and play. That was Professor James Fetzer. And let me tell you guys something. Remember the quote from Woodrow Wilson, that there's a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked and complete, so pervasive, that the people who might condemn it better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it? Well, I think he was talking about Zionism, but there's two other words that people better whisper about when speaking in condemnation of it, and that's Sandy Hook, or better yet, four words, FEMA, false flag, event. Professor James Fetzer joins us to talk about the unspeakable after a quick word from our sponsor. Do you guys remember that interview?
Well, there's another unspeakable event taking place today. Federal Reserve Board announces the Bank Term Funding Program, BTFB, will cease making new loans as scheduled on March 11th. That is today. The Federal Reserve Board on Wednesday announced that the Bank Term Funding Program, BTFP, will cease making new loans as scheduled on March 11th. The program will continue to make loans until that time and is available as an additional source of liquidity for eligible institutions. During a period of stress last spring, the Bank Term Funding Program helped assure the stability of the banking system and provide support for the economy. After March 11th, banks and other depository institutions will continue to have ready access to the discount window to meet liquidity needs. Here's Hal Turner talking about it. Musical chairs for banks. The music stops tomorrow. Published Sunday. Monday, March 11, 2024. Banks may get a deadly dose of reality. A Federal Reserve will cease the Bank Term Funding Program, which will stop making new loans. During a period expressed last week, the Bank Term Funding Program helped assure the stability of the banking system and provide support for the economy after March 11th. Banks and other depository institutions will continue to have ready access to the discount window to meet liquidity needs. As the program ends, the interest rate available to new BTFP loans has been adjusted such that the rate on new loans extended from now through program expiration will be no lower than the interest rate on reserve balances in effect on the day the loan is made. This rate adjustment ensures that the BTFP continues to support the goals of the program in the current interest rate environment. This change is effective immediately. All other terms of the program are unchanged. The BTFP was established under Section 13(3) of the Federal Reserve Act with approval of the Treasury Secretary. When the BTFP stops today, banks will no longer be able to borrow from the Fed based upon value at maturity of U.S. Treasuries and other assets they hold. So if the banks cannot borrow from the Fed to meet these cash trends, how will they get the cash? Put simply, the game of musical chairs for banks will see the music stop today, which banks will find themselves without a chair and thus lose. The consequences, alas, are likely to be enormous. Meanwhile, airdropped aid crushes five Palestinians to death in Gaza. Witnesses and officials say a parachute failed to deploy and landed on several people, including children. The parachutes of airdropped pallets of aid failed, causing the large object to plummet to the ground in northern Gaza, killing five. The U.S. and several other countries have dropped a token amount of aid onto northern Gaza because Israel is only allowing a trickle of aid to enter the strip by land. A witness, speaking with Al Jazeera, explained the botched airdrop caused a building to collapse, killing some of the people sheltering inside. People were waiting for the drops when they noticed they were coming in fast, so a group took cover in a construction site. One of the packages fell atop the site, causing it to collapse, killing and wounding people inside. I rushed to help the people when I realized my cousin was among them. He is now dead. Palestinian health officials and an eyewitness spoke with CBS, said the aid crate killed five, including two children, Friday morning. Multiple videos have shown pallets of aid that have fallen into the Mediterranean Sea floating on the surface, where some appear to tangle and plummet down. Meanwhile, Biden announces emergency aid mission to establish port in Gaza for aid. Biden is taking drastic measure to get aid into the strip instead of using military aid to pressure Israel. Bad plan. Window dressing. President Biden announced during the State of the Union Thursday night, he ordered a military mission to establish a port in Gaza to get more aid into the strip as Palestinians are starving to death and Israel is still restricting aid. A drastic measure is being ordered instead of Biden using the enormous leverage he has over Israel to pressure them to allow in more aid or halt the genocidal campaign. To wit, in case you missed the memo, all these Palestinians are being slaughtered using American weapons, American howitzer shells, American bombs. Without those bombs and shells, the slaughter could not continue. All Biden has to do is turn off the spigot. But he's not doing that. Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the Gaza coast that can receive large ships carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters, Biden said. I would add as an aside, my colleague, Scott Bennett, a former Army Intel and PSYOPs officer, made this suggestion a couple of weeks ago on one of our shows, Truth Versus News, I suspect having been, which we tape each Sunday, a two-hour comprehensive program, usually with Brian Davidson, a private investigator from Texas, as an additional commentator. Scott made this suggestion. U.S. official claimed the Axios appear in the sea off the Gaza coast will allow hundreds of aid trucks to enter the strip per day. But the pier will take weeks to build, and Palestinians are already starving to death at a rapid rate. Biden insisted there would be no U.S. boots on the ground. But the plan still runs the risk of U.S. personnel being targeted off the coast, which could lead to a major escalation of U.S. involvement in the Israeli slaughter of Palestinians. I think Biden's just lying. I've had reports from the past that U.S. forces were already there before the intrusion into Gaza. And I have a new report from a correspondent confirming that it was American soldiers who led the entry into Gaza, most of whom were killed. The aid will pass through Cyprus before heading to the pier and will be subject to Israeli inspections, which means some could be turned away. CNN reported that some of the items most frequently rejected by Israel include anesthetics and anesthetic machines, oxygen cylinders, ventilators, and water filtration systems. Others that have been restricted include dates, sleeping bags, medicines to treat cancer, water purification tablets, and maternity kits. Notice, all of these, anesthesia machines, oxygen cylinders, ventilators, water filtration systems, are elements to preserve life. The Israelis don't want to preserve life if the lives are preserving are Palestinians, so they're rejecting them. Biden acknowledged in his speech that Israel has killed thousands and thousands of innocent women and children, but gave no indication he was reconsidering his policy of unconditional military support for the slaughter. More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas. Thousands and thousands are innocent women and children, girls and boys also orphaned. Nearly 2 million more Palestinians under bombardment are displaced. Homes destroyed, neighborhoods in rubble, cities in ruin, families without food, water, medicine, he said. Here's what I received from a correspondent, Dr. Fetzer. An old vet in mid-state Illinois said an active duty soldier told him, "We lost over 1,000 special op troops on the first day of the attack on Gaza. Jewish soldiers were not sent in on the first wave, only Americans. After the bombing, our men were driven into the rubble where many Hamas, which in his opinion are just a controlled opposition embedded with Israeli snipers, were waiting in the ruins to gun down our people. Jews did not go in. Stayed back as snipers, probably shot a few of our guys in the back." Eustace Mullen said they did this in World War II. Kill the best of the goyim. They are reducing the number of well-trained troops in our military, wasting our armaments and equipment, making sure we're left with nothing to fight with. Mike. I think Mike's got it right. Here's another comment. Derek Harvey tweets, since the U.S. is going to build a pier for supplying Hamas and delivering humanitarian assistance, will the U.S. military provide security further, pulling Americans into Gaza? It'll require protection by U.S. assets, I would think. Contingencies? What happens when inevitably U.S. personnel are targeted or kidnapped or a suicide bombing? Much could go wrong. Guess we're setting up an 83 Beirut situation, you may recall, when a Marine barracks in Beirut was blown to smithereens by a truck loaded with explosives. Most of us who have looked at this believe that was an Israeli op, very much like the attack on the USS Liberty during the 1967 war. And, of course, in case you haven't put 2 + 2 together, 9/11 was an inside job. Compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. It was orchestrated by Benjamin Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert to create a pretext to draw American forces into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab state that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually be used to confront the Persian nation of Iran. Worked like clockwork up until Syria, where intervention by Russian and Iranian forces brought it to a halt at the request of the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. Paul Greg Roberts believes what's going on now is completing the 9/11 project to create the greater Israel of Zionist dreams. Derek Harvey continues, the crazy train has left the station with the admin on Gaza and Hamas, and now considering sanctions on IDF serving in Gaza, makes sense to punish those defending their country from an horrific attack or taking great risk to avoid civilian casualties and feeding and supplying the enemy. Actually, this guy's on the wrong side. Meanwhile, U.S. has approved 100 arms deals for Israel since October 7th to support the Gaza slaughter. The Biden admin has secretly approved more than 100 separate foreign military sales to Israel since October 7th. To support the mass killing of Palestinians in Gaza. This from antiwar.com. It's unclear how many of the sales are being funded by the U.S., but many could be, as Israel received $3.3 billion in annual foreign military financing, a form of U.S. military aid that gives foreign government money to purchase U.S. arms. Only 2 sales have been made public. One for $106 million worth of 120-millimeter tank ammo, and one for $147.5 million in components needed to make 155 military artillery shells. The Biden admin drew criticism for the deals because they bypassed Congress to push them through as quickly as possible. U.S. official told the Post, there was no public debate for the other 100 deals because the dollar value fell under the threshold needed to inform Congress. Considering the vast number of arms sales in such a short period of time, making them low value was clearly an effort to keep the arm transfers out of the public eye, as Biden is under increasing scrutiny for supporting Israel's genocidal campaign. The Post reports that U.S. official told Congress during a classified briefing that the hundreds of sales amounted to thousands of precision-guided munitions, small-diameter bomb, bunker busters, small arms, and other types of lethal aid. The exact number of bombs and other types of equipment the U.S. has delivered since October 7th is not clear. The Wall Street Journal reported on December 1st, that the U.S. had provided Israel with 57,000 artillery shells and 15,000 bombs, including massive bunker busters. But that figure is likely much higher since the report was published over 3 months ago. Revelation from the Post comes as Biden admin claims it's pressuring Israel to allow more aid into Gaza, where children are starving to death and a major famine is imminent. But the U.S. is not using any of its leverage over Israel as it continues to provide unconditional military aid for its military operations and starvation campaign. Over 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, over 71,000 wounded in Gaza since October 7th. According to Gaza's health ministry, which says about 70% of the casualties are women and children. Despite the massive civilian casualty rate, the U.S. is looking to give Israel another $14 billion in military aid, on top of the $3.8 billion it receives each year. Yes. And let me add, Joaquin Agopian, a graduate of West Point, in my opinion, a brilliant analyst, has published on my blog, U.S. Israeli Genocide, Psychopathy on Full Geopolitical Display. Another major news development this week involved Bibi the Butcher's chief political foe. According to CNN, Israel former defense minister and retired General Benny Gantz as a current member in Netanyahu's war cabinet, totally against Bibi's wishes. Benny, at Biden's behest, traveled to Washington to meet on Monday and Tuesday with Vice President Kamala Harris, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Security Council Advisor Jake Sullivan. All these puppets implored Benny to go back to Israel and convince Bibi his position as head of state will not continue to be unconditionally supported much longer if his genocide refusal to slow down is allowed to go on much longer. Fat chance. Be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny's not here as yet. I look forward to his joining. Meanwhile, as Joaquin Agobian explains, totally get BB's wishes. Benny, at Biden's request, travel to Washington, meet Monday and Tuesday with Vice President Kamala Harris, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Security Council Advisor Jake Sullivan. All these puppets employed Benny to go back to Israel and convince Bibi his position as head of state will not continue to be unconditionally supported much longer by Washington if his genocide and refusal to slow it down is allowed to go on much longer. A genocidal pause Ramadan, another prisoner swap, more humanitarian relief to the famine-stricken children now starving in Gaza is the message to Bibi. Let's see who wins this clash of will between geopolitical puppet regimes, U.S. or Israel. Because Bibi's higher pay grade, via his Jewish state founder, the Zionist Rothschild dynasty, and since satanic elites always love human sacrificial bloodbaths, Israeli genocide will likely continue without interruption. He's got it right. Everything these psychopathic puppets do, whether Israeli or American, is self-serving as useful idiots, desperately trying to maintain or gain more leverage and power as puppet minions, dutifully doing the Biden of their bloodline masters, and then control them through us. The treasonous Biden regime knows that virtually the entire world views them as complicit, genocidal accomplices in the brutal daily slaughter of the Palestinian people. So, to save their own ass, they must stress how important it is for Israel to do the right thing and allow humanitarian relief into Gaza, at least slow down the rampant murder of over 30,000 Palestinians just in time for Ramadan. This entire plan is not for the benefit of the people in Gaza, but almost entirely for the benefit of the Biden crime team to finally take credit for something, anything, to show they at least have a little leverage over the butcher's bloodthirsty ravage. With Bibi incessantly rejecting the feeble advice and soft pressure from weaker American psychopath Biden, Blinken, and Austin, Washington's criminal regime knows its prospect of retaining power is sinking daily, with less than 8 months before the election. The fact is, they've been repeatedly humiliated by Netanyahu's flagrant defiance, exposing the Biden regime's own naked wickedness before the world. So, Benny and the Jets, the U.S. made kind dropping tons of daily U.S. bombs, can't at least have a pause from the massacre and carnage. Not so a few more Palestinians can be spared U.S.-Israeli jaws of death. But the all-important ceasefire would demonstrate that Biden can still be a viable player in this highly competitive power game and will back Benny over Bibi rather than continue to be publicly mocked as a powerless old feeble-minded weakling going down in history as the worst U.S. president ever. It's ironic blasphemy that genetic Semite Arabs are currently being wiped off the face of the earth, illuminated from their ancient biblical homeland that has been there before Ashkenazi, Khazarian, crypto-Jews ever came to be. Yet these imposter Jews, with next to no genetic or justifiable link to ancient Judea or ancient Israel, plotted as Zionists over a century ago to falsely claim Palestine as their own natural birthright home. This is one of history's most egregious lies and catastrophes. And as a result, today has humanity free-falling toward Armageddon Cliff. When these bloodline controllers' agenda is to eliminate the entire human race, any show of benevolence by the D.C. psychopath toward Palestinians is a pure acting job in front of the cameras as their desperate ploy to appear to the public that they actually care. Psychopaths lack emotion, and having genuine empathy to care about others is a totally fake acting performance. The bottom line here is by nature of the psychopathic beast, everything psychopaths do is always in their own self-interest. Psychopathy is all about doing whatever it takes to increase one's level of power and control, driven by grandiose self-importance that superficially comes off as confidence and charm, all just part of their acting performance. Their sole reason for existence, power and control at all costs, not to themselves but only others, that they can predatorially deceive, manipulate, intimidate, charm, divide, and control. As a classic example of the prototypical psychopath rise to power, dissecting Barack Obama's psychopathy was a topic of a piece I wrote for Global Research a decade ago as a West Point graduate. I went to school with this ambitious, do-anything-to-get-ahead breed. A number of the centuries, top generals commanding America's wars designed to lose, selected U.S. ambassadors, key past and current cabinet members I knew way back when, and all are touched by varying degrees from psychopathic tendencies to clinically diagnosable mentally ill psychopaths. And for over 10 years as a journalist, I've written extensively exposing their misdeeds. Pretending and acting come natural for psychopaths as a convincing means of winning over necessary approval and support from others who may be useful to their ascendancy, even on demand. Emitting crocodile tears for the camera comes naturally for many of these swamp creatures. But it's always self-serving. Never, ever is it because they genuinely care about the welfare of others. They're incapable. They're addicted to power and control over others. They only care about themselves, feeding their unquenchable hunger for more power and control by coldly using others to enhance their own selfish self-interest. Psychopathy is both an incurable curse and a mental disease. Noted forensic psychologist Nathan Brooks compiled research on psychopaths amidst the corporate world and found that 21% of corporate executives are full-blown psychopaths. Brooks has stated, typically, psychopaths create a lot of chaos and generally tend to pay people off against each other. For psychopaths, it corporate success in this case is a game, and they don't mind if they violate morals. It's about getting where they want in the company and having dominance over others. With only about 1% of the general population psychopathic, it's no accident roughly the same high percentage of psychopaths wind up criminals behind bars as top executives running the world's largest corporations. Psychopaths lack the moral compass that guides most people's behavior, and their propensity toward risk-taking while exercising cunning, cost-reward intelligence, and superficial charm and charisma serve them well as valued assets of successful con men, crooked used car salesmen, and elected politicians. The higher in power, the more concentrated and prevalent psychopathy becomes. Really a wonderful piece, more to it. Meanwhile, and I can't begin to tell you how upset I am about this, Trump breaks silence on Israel's military campaign in Gaza. Finish the problem. The former president largely avoided weighing in on Gaza as President Biden has faced criticism from within the Democrat coalition over his support for Israel. Palm Beach, Florida. Former President Donald Trump declared Tuesday that Israel must finish the problem in its war against Hamas. His most definitive position on the conflict, since a terror group killed 1,200 Israelis and took more than 200 hostages on October 7th. Of course, that's spinning. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. It appears to have been an inside job that was allowed to happen. You've got to finish the problem, Trump said on Fox Tuesday when asked about the war. He had a horrible invasion that took place that would have never happened if I was president. When asked whether he supported a ceasefire in Gaza, Trump demurred, avoiding an explicit position on Israel's military effort, has now also left more than 30,000 dead in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. The likely 2024 Republican nominee has not provided his own position on U.S. or Israeli strategy throughout the 5 months of the war. Though a stalwart defender of Prime Minister Netanyahu's administration during his presidency, Trump has also attempted to strike an anti-war posture on the campaign trail in the last year, attempting to contrast himself from President Joe Biden and his remaining Republican rival Nikki Haley, who, of course, as we know, has dropped out of the race. Frankly, they got soft, Trump said Tuesday about the Biden admin, claiming the aggression by foreign adversaries would not have happened were he still president. That should never have happened. Likewise, Russia would never have attacked Ukraine. That bothers me too. Vladimir Putin explained the very day of the incursion why he had to undertake the special military operation. It had nothing to do with who was president of the United States other than that. Victoria Nuland, who is now departing from the administration, we all can breathe a sigh of relief, engineered a coup in Kiev to depose a Russia-friendly president and install in his place a Western puppet. That changed the situation dramatically. Where from that point on, Kiev began artillery bombardments on the Donbass, largely populated by ethnic Russians, Russian speakers, Russia-friendly population. Over the years, killing some 2,000 from these artillery strikes. They were on the verge of a mass onslaught into the Donbass, that would have been brought about the kind of genocide we see taking place in Gaza today. Putin had no choice but to intervene. So for Trump to state that should never have happened, likewise Russia would never have attacked Ukraine, to me is baffling. Does he truly not understand the situation in Ukraine, which Putin laid out with precision and accuracy and then repeated in his explanation to Tucker Carlson during their classic interview? Hasn't Trump been paying attention? I am dismayed. While Tuesday's comments offered the strongest signal yet from Trump of which direction Israel should take, he has yet to offer specific thoughts or proposals on how much the U.S. should be involved financially, how hostage negotiations should be handled, the plight of Gaza's civilian population, whether world leaders, whether Israeli leaders should pursue a one- or two-state solution to the conflict, where we know Bibi has boasted of having put off the idea of a two-state solution for decades. Reached for comment by NBC. The Trump campaign promoted the former president's record on Israel and blamed Biden for the ongoing turmoil in the Middle East. President Trump did more for Israel than any American president in history. He took historic action in the Middle East that created unprecedented peace, said Carolyn Leavitt, Trump National Press Secretary, adding, when President Trump is back in the Oval Office, Israel will once again be protected. Iran will be brought back to being broke. Terrorists will be hunted down and the bloodshed will end. Just days after Hamas attacked Israel, Trump, in a video posted from Mar-a-Lago, declared, I kept Israel safe. Nobody else will. Nobody else can. And I know all of the players, they can do it. Trump did lay out a few markers in the 3 weeks that followed the Hamas attack. He said on October 11th, that a future Trump admin would fully support Israel defeating, dismantling, and permanently destroying the terrorist group Hamas, while telling the Republican Jewish Coalition later that month that Hamas fighters will burn forever in the eternal pit of hell. That month, his campaign also said that, if elected again, he would bar Gaza residents from entering the U.S. as part of an expanded travel ban. That silence has run parallel to Biden increasingly coming under fire from left-wing and Muslim American voters for his support of Israel's, I add the words, grossly disproportionate response to the October 7th attack. A coalition of voters is campaigning for Democrat primary voters to vote uncommitted or for similar ballot choices, as some backed in Michigan, where the uncommitted voter in more than 13% in last week's Democrat presidential primary, a small uptick from the number 11% who voted uncommitted in the 2012, when then-President Barack Obama ran unopposed. I put on Twitter, breaking my heart, Trump has now said of Israel's slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza, time to finish the job, which I find morally repugnant. The man I thought was an American hero turned out to be a run-of-the-mill chameleon. Can MAGA survive without Trump? Again, correction. Run-of-the-mill does not describe DJT. I had resisted comparison with P.T. Barnum, but now I'm forced to reconsider. His position here reveals himself to be a moral midget. I am devastated, like being shot in the head. We have been betrayed. Meanwhile, Henry Mackow picked up on Trumpstein is Prince of Peace. March 7. Trump just got a menorah and a Prince of Peace award for telling the Israelis to finish the job in Gaza. And here he is holding his award with a shit-eating grin on his face. He put out a new political advertisement, oddly enough. The individual posted this, described it as an ADD rather than as an AD. It's rather cartoonish, rather a comic book version of Donald Trump. I'm going to play it now.
More than a country, more than a shining city on a hill, the idea of America lives in each and every one of us. America lives. But a storm has gathered at our shores. A tempest that seeks to tear apart the fabric of our nation. It seeks nothing less than the wanton destruction of this great nation of men and women. It seeks to rip out, erase, and supplant the very foundations of practicality and reason. It seeks to erase us. We know this enemy. They have existed throughout time, and now they have come for us. And they have come for our children. We watch the clouds coalesce and gather. We watched them form for decades from the distance as they approached our borders. We heard the clap of thunder echo in our minds and rattle down through the halls of our capitals. We have, most of us, become complacent, unaware, and disengaged while the darkness grew and unfolded around us. Slowly, then all at once. This threat is real. What we face is a hurricane of deceit and moral decay with the goal of absolute power. We face a true battle of good versus evil. If we stand by and do nothing, evil will triumph. But that is not our fate. We are great men. We are great men with a great leader. A leader that loves this nation and what it has given back to him. A leader who seeks the same ideals as we do. Ideals of truth, liberty, and justice. He sees the greatness in us and the great potential in America and its future. He seeks to make America great again. This man will guide us, but he cannot do it alone. It takes every one of us alongside him. It takes work, it takes faith, and it takes resolve. Together we can fight this storm. We can fight and we will win. Unite now. Gather alongside him. Come together for this nation. Bear the colors of red, white, and blue that are woven into the fiber of this nation, saturated with the blood of patriots that came before us. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your effort to rebuild this nation together. Together we can save America, the America that lives in all of us. Trump 2024.
Yeah, Trump 2024. When I first saw that, before he had declared Israel must finish the job, complete the slaughter of Palestinians, I thought it was a bit over the top, but it didn't bother me. Today, I don't quite feel the same. And while I no doubt will nevertheless vote for the man, it's not with the enthusiasm I've had in the past. And it will truly be a case of looking at the alternatives. The Democrats cannot be allowed to continue in office. And if Trump is tarnished, seriously flawed by his blind allegiance to Israel, which I despise, exemplified in the past by assassinating Qasem Soleimani, who is a great hero of Iran and of the Middle East, in an act of perfidy, lured to Iraq on a peacekeeping mission by our Department of State, and then taken out by a drone in violation of Iraqi sovereignty, but also of the laws of war of international expectations. Just shameless, shameless, shameless. I said before I could never forgive him for that. This endorsement of genocide is categorically more serious and severe. I wish there were a better alternative, but I see none. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, on the other side of the ledger, RT is reporting Trump has a plan to end the Ukrainian conflict. Coming from Viktor Orbán, the Prime Minister of Hungary. The detailed scheme involves cutting Kiev off from U.S. aid. Donald Trump intends to end the Ukraine conflict if reelected as U.S. president. It has a detailed plan to do so. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán told local media after meeting the presumed Republican nominee. The former U.S. leader repeatedly claimed on his campaign trail that if he had remained in the White House for a second term, there'd be no hostilities between Moscow and Kiev if voted back in. He promised to end the conflict in 24 hours. By applying pressure on stakeholders. Let me mention, he could similarly end the slaughter in Palestine by cutting off support to Israel. So why the hell is he saying he'll do that too? The former U.S. leader, Orbán, who spoke with Trump at Mar-a-Lago on Friday, did not explain exactly how the American would do that, but said cutting the flow of U.S. aid was a crucial part of the plan. If the U.S. will not provide the money, Europeans on their own will not be able to finance the war, and then the war will end, Orbán said. During his presidency, Trump had shown himself to be a man of peace, the Hungarian leader claimed. That stance puts him in alignment with Hungary. Unlike the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden, many members of the EU, the American Democrat government, and the leadership of the EU, as well as the leadership of the largest EU member states, are pro-war government. Donald Trump is pro-peace. Hungary is pro-peace. At the bottom of everything lies this difference. The Kremlin declined to weigh in on the remarks, with spokesman Dmitry Peskov saying Monday that Orbán's account of Trump's intention was too vague for any specific commentary. Ukrainian President Zelensky previously expressed skepticism about Trump's ability to deliver on the promise. He said if the plan was feasible, the American politician should share it with the public, or at least with Kiev. Ukrainian government claims that a just peace requires a military victory over Russia, and that would agree to nothing short of that fad chance. Moscow has said that its strategic gains in a military operation against Kiev will be achieved one way or another. The U.S. and its allies, who continue to arm Ukraine, cannot change that outcome, and are only prolonging the suffering of the country's people, Russian officials have stated. But again, I say, yes, there you have a solution to the war in Ukraine, but it's equally applicable to the war in Israel, cut off their supplies. Genocide is the greatest immoral act anyone can conceive. Grotesque. And Donald Trump says he supports genocide? How can any of us support a man who supports genocide? What do we got? Benjamin Netanyahu running for president of the United States. I've already explained. If you want to understand the Biden admin, just realize Netanyahu is our commander-in-chief for foreign affairs. George Soros for domestic, and it all falls into place. Donald Trump was supposed to be an alternative, not an extension of those policies. He looks like he'll follow through domestically, which would be a mega improvement. But in terms of foreign policy, half a loaf. I'm distraught. Meanwhile, because Trump, as observed, has taken the largest lead because the military-industrial complex wants war, because Trump appears to be opposed to war, in particular the war in Ukraine, big money maker for Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon, and the like. What are we hearing? FBI looking for Iranian spy allegedly plotting assassination of Trump admin officials, and whom there is no higher than Trump himself. The FBI is on the hunt for an Iranian intelligence operative who's allegedly been plotting to assassinate current and former U.S. government officials, including Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State under former President Donald Trump. This is just laying the groundwork. This is total propaganda. This is like Sirhan being blamed for the death of RFK. Sirhan, of course, was a Palestinian. This is like on 9/11, having a fake call from the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, taking credit for 9/11, then switching to footage of Palestinians rejoicing, which they just happened to have at their fingertips. I knew it immediately. It was archival footage from some past political or religious event. And I was right. The Palestinians were just as slack-jawed and dumbfounded as the rest of the world. But they wanted to blame their archenemy. That's the Israeli war. They are blatant, even clumsy. They are so obvious about it. Last week, the Bureau's Miami field office issued a public alert and it sought information on Majid Dischani Farahani, suspected of being a member of Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security. The FBI warned of Farahani, 42, in a most wanted notice, saying he speaks Farsi, French, Spanish, English, often moved between Iran and Venezuela. According to the FBI, Farahani was recruiting individuals for various operations in the United States to include lethal targeting of current or former United States government officials as part of a revenge operation for taking out Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani in 2020 under Trump. They've even got a photograph of the guy. The venue Semaphore reported U.S. officials said Pompeo and former special envoy for Iran, Brian Hook, were given 24-hour security after the FBI warned of Farahani in 2022. The Department of Justice indicted members of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps for an alleged plot to assassinate former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who also served under Trump. And that, of course, should have been very disturbing. Bolton being about as far to the Zionist side as anyone has ever been. Farahani is also accused of recruiting people to run surveillance activities focused on religious sites, businesses, and other facilities in the United States. I was very distressed, as I've already explained, about taking out Soleimani. Bad, bad, bad. Meanwhile, supporters blast Trump on Truth Social after he takes credit for the COVID jabs. Biden announced that COVID vaccine is being used to cure cancer. Trump responded on Truth Social where he was doing a running commentary. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback, Trump wrote, quoting Biden. You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years it would have taken you. Since the COVID mRNA shots were rolled out, Western nations have seen dramatic increases in myocarditis, blood clots, neurological disorder, many other previously rare ailments. Cancer rates, alarmingly, have also risen exponentially. Researchers think they have discovered why. Last April, microbiology's Kevin Kernan, a former researcher for MIT Human Genome Project, discovered the presence of DNA contaminants in the products, which can affect unintended parts of the body and lead to cancer, including mesotheliomas, lymphomas, and cancers of the brain and bone. Many of Trump's own supporters are very aware of these links. Between the mRNA jabs and the increase in excess death in the United States, and don't believe Operation Warp Speed is anything to brag about. Most of these commenters indicated they still support the former president, but voiced dismay that he continues to promote the COVID jabs. Mr. President, please stop promoting these vaccines. They are killing and injuring thousands of us, one follower wrote on Truth Social. I fully believe they are causing the uptick in cancers. I fully support you on everything except vaccines, with all due respect. It's a hard no for me, sir. I stand with you on most things, but disagree completely on this. The death jab murdered my father and 20 plus of my friends, another supporter wrote. Sir, please drop the vax. There's more evil and ill wrapped around the vax. The bad actors behind it must be held to account. I believe you were fooled, have not seen nor understand what has been done. A commentator wrote respectfully, I love and support you on most issues, but I strongly disagree on this one. The COVID vaccines are not safe, Mr. President. Please do more research, a woman advised. Some Truth Social users were not so polite. Was your account hacked? You got to be kidding me. I personally know too many people with turbo cancer because of the jab, said one commentator on X. Lawyer Via Frey, a Canadian Trump supporter, said the blowback against the former president is justified. Trump is getting raked for this Truth post, and rightly so, he wrote. Trump is still trying to tout as a success, a shot that has injured or killed countless people. It's not just a politically damaging position to take. It is becoming increasingly obvious that the success of the jab is arguable at best. The jab will go down in history as an abject disaster. Trump needs to read Brooke Jackson whistleblower complaint. He needs to understand that Fauci lied to him and to us. He needs to understand that Pfizer lied to him and to us. He needs to understand that Moderna lied to him and to us. He needs to understand that Operation Warp Speed was co-opted from its initial purpose and weaponized into an excuse to mass vaccinate even those who did not need any such vaccine in the first place. He needs to understand that the data was falsified, the risks were concealed, and the manufactured delivered product was not what was approved in any event. He then needs to publicly admit this and vow to go after those responsible, those who lied to him and to us, those who are responsible for the irreparable harm that so many people suffered. Otherwise, continuing to take pride in this experimental shot will continue to cause him potentially critical political damage in general, and in particular among those whose support he desperately needs and those who desperately want to support him. In my humble opinion, respectfully submitted. Musician and vaccine grant Five Times August also responded to the dust-up on X. "You don't have to get mad at those holding Trump accountable for the COVID shot," he wrote. "He's had plenty of opportunities to say it was a terrible mistake. Not only has he not done that, he's doubled down on his accomplishment every single time. It's okay to boo him on that. Either nobody on his team has told him the truth or he's intentionally ignoring it. Either way, that's very bad. And to look past it, to not hold your leaders accountable for their mistakes, is exactly why our country is in the position it's in now. One way or another, the tragedy of what's happened is going to catch up to him. He's going to have to face it. It just is what it is." Independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. commented on X, "That's clear that Trump hasn't learned from his COVID-era mistakes, and that he looks forward to debating him and Biden in September." Here's RFK Jr. "Donald Trump clearly hasn't learned from his COVID-era mistakes. He fails to recognize how ineffective his Warp Speed vaccine is, as the ninth shot is being recommended to seniors. Even more troubling is the documented harm being caused by the shot to so many innocent children and women." Now, on MSNBC on Super Tuesday, discussing the outcome, they were making a lot of noise about the GOP candidate for the governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, who has a history of making inflammatory comments. He'll face Democrat Josh Stein. It was expected to be a close race in November. So what it is about Mark Robinson, North Carolina's lieutenant governor, who has a history of making inflammatory comments, has said he would abolish abortion rights. I disagree with that. Has won the state nomination for governor. Robinson, North Carolina's first black lieutenant governor, will face Democrat Josh Stein, the state attorney general, in what's expected to be a close and hotly contested race in November. Robinson and Stein are attempting to succeed the current Democrat governor, Roy Cooper, who is term limited. Because Republicans already controlled North Carolina's legislature, a Robinson victory would give them a trifecta and unilateral control over policymaking in a critical battleground state. Issues like the right to abortion would be at stake. Robinson said last month that he would absolutely protect life from conception. "We got it down to 12 weeks. Next goal is to get it down to 6, and then just keep moving from there. Remember, most women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. I mean, for crying out loud." A former factory worker, Robinson launched his political career when his 2018 speech on gun laws to his hometown council went viral. During that speech, Robinson said he represented average Americans who feel targeted and whose safety feels threatened by attempts to restrict firearm access. The attention following the speech earned him a spot as a conservative commentator and NRA board member. And he used this new fame to launch his successful bid for lieutenant governor. Robinson has a history of controversial statements. He has described COVID-19 as a globalist conspiracy to destroy Donald Trump. In 2021, he criticized efforts to teach LGBTQ+ issues in sex education, referring to transgender and homosexual people as filth. He's also said people who are gay are equivalent to what the cows leave behind, as well as maggots and flies. He implied at a campaign event last month that transgender women, who of course are men, should be arrested if they use women's restrooms. He once described the movie Black Panther as created by an agnostic Jew and put to film by a satanic Marxist. He then said it was only created to pull the shekels out of your Shabbat's pocket. In 2014, he quoted Hitler on Facebook in a statement about racial pride. He defended the post in a speech last July, saying quoting the Nazi leader doesn't equate to supporting him. Because you quoted Hitler, you support Hitler. He said, I guess every history book in America supports Hitler now. They all quote him. If Stein were to win in November, he would be North Carolina's first Jewish governor, Robinson, the state's first black. At a rally last weekend endorsing Robinson, Trump praised his rhetorical skills and called him Martin Luther King on steroids. The Rays, just one of two gubernatorial contests in swing states this year, will command national attention, with Democrats likely to paint Robinson as an extremist and Republicans tying Stein to Biden in his unpopularity. While Republicans currently control the legislature, Democrats have lost only one gubernatorial race in North Carolina since 1992. We'll get this. He's also a Holocaust denier. And in that regard, I am with him 100%. As I've explained on many occasions, if you have done the research, you are either a Holocaust denier or a big fat liar. Back on August 9th of 2020, on my show, The Conspiracy Guy, I challenged the official World War II narrative, including a photograph of the British football team at Auschwitz. What? You didn't know there was a British soccer team at Auschwitz? I published about it, too, The Holocaust Narrative, Politics, Trump Science, which is appear on the government rag and on my own blog at jameshfetzer.org. Here's part. The fastest way to get expelled from a British university by saying you're looking at chemical evidence for how Zyklon was used in World War II, with a discussion of how delousing technology functioned in the World War II labor camps. Nicholas Kullerstrom. For more on the book, click Breaking the Spell, for which Nick Kullerstrom invited me to write the introduction. The author of this refreshing scientific study of the Holocaust, Nicholas Kullerstrom, may be the most honorable man whom I have ever had the pleasure to know. In response to PM David Cameron's denunciation of 7/7 and 9/11 skeptics as on a par with ISIS, he went to Scotland Yard with a copy of Terror on the Tube, 3rd edition, 2011, and turned himself in. Scotland Yard declined the honor. But this act, which symbolically castrated the PM's outrageous stance, was a striking illustration of his ability to tackle a problem by going right at it. A distinguished historian of science with multiple degrees, including from Cambridge, he has published on 9/11 and especially 7/7, about which he appears to be the world's leading expert. He lost his position at University College London, which he had held for 15 years, where university officials did not bother to extend the opportunity of a rebuttal before they sacked him. He and I both spoke at the recent conference, Academic Freedom, Are There Limits to Inquiry? JFK, 9/11, and the Holocaust, where this book reports the results of the research for which he was banned. This book, a stunning historic expose has just appeared. I endorse it with my highest recommendation. The situation is completely absurd. No subject generates responses as extreme and irrational as what has come to be known as the Holocaust. Unlike any other event in human history, including even the most sacred religious beliefs, framing to question, dispute, or deny its occurrence qualifies as a hate crime, where Holocaust denial is even a prosecutable offense in certain jurisdictions. Unlike any other, this crime involves the expression of forbidden thoughts about a subject that has become taboo. The underlying desideratum is whether history is supposed to be accurate and true, or, as Voltaire has put it, merely a pack of lies living by upon the dead. Just so we know what we're talking about, in its broadest outlines, the Holocaust can be defined by means of its three primary elements, which I shall designate here as hypotheses H1, H2, and H3. H1, that Hitler was attempting to exterminate the Jews and succeeded by putting around 6 million to death. H2, that many of those deaths were brought about by the use of cyanide gas in chambers for that purpose. And H3, that the chemical agent that brought about those deaths was Zyklon B, to which the victims were subjected. As Nicholas Gollerstam documents in this astonishing and brilliant book, the science of the Holocaust is this cut and dried. To the extent to which the Holocaust narrative depends on H2 and H3, it cannot be sustained. The question that remains around H1 are a bit more complex, but appear to be equally contrived. There are more than 236 references to 6 million Jews who are either in acute distress or about to be assailed in the newspapers of the world prior to the Nuremberg Tribunal, the first of which appeared in 1890. The numbers seem to have no basis in fact, but to have theological origins from a disputed passage in Leviticus as to how many Jews must perish before they can return to the promised land. To the extent to which the number of Jews who died in the camp can be objectively determined, the most reliable numbers appear to come from the records of the International Committee for the Red Cross, which visited the camps and kept meticulous records on the identities of those who died and their causes of death. Not one is reported to have been put to death in gas chambers, and the total it reported in 1993 for all the camps combined was 296,081. Even rounding up to an even 600,000 gypsies, Jews, the mentally and physically infirm, the empirical evidence thus contradicts the contention that 6 million Jews were put to death and thereby falsifies hypothesis H1. Counting deaths attributed to the Holocaust, apart from the records of the International Committee of the Red Cross, turns out to be an exercise in fuzzy math, because none of them add up. As Robert Forasson observed during an interview on 13 December 2006, the Vad Yashem database was built up by simple unverified declarations emanating from unverified sources and proceeded in such a way that one and the same person can be recorded as having died several times, even it seems as many as 10. And even the most complete archives are not collated to make total numbers accessible, but only individual cases, which appears an obvious measure to preserve the untestability of H1, hypothesis that 6 million Jews had perished. There's much more going on. Meanwhile, we had the case of Joe Biden giving his State of the Union speech. Though Danny Sirius is not here for me to discuss with him, AR Cyber evaluates Dark Brandon Biden's State of the Union performance. Clone or body double? Yes, Army Cyber Command sources have yet to forensically determine whether last night's Dark Brandon was an imposter, body double, doppelganger, clone, or hologram. However, they expressed certainty over one thing. If it was a genuine Sleepy Joe, he was whacked out of his pedophilic mind on adrenochrome during the State of the Union address. Seemingly an uncharacteristic replete with vim and vigor. Joe attacked the legitimate President Donald J. Trump a dozen times without naming him, labeling him a Russian stooge and enemy of democracy. He also dwelt on Ukraine, imploring lawmakers in the audience to lavishly fund Zelensky, an act that would further bankrupt the U.S. and deplete the country's military arsenal. Moreover, Joe lied about looking to end hostilities in the Middle East. He has been playing both sides of the fence, vigorously funding Israel while promising to ship provisions to Gaza, and he is fearful of alienating Zionist and Muslim support. Too late. The mainstream and liberal commentators call his speech triumphant a victory lap. Joe's fiery performance, they said, proved beyond all doubt that he, despite his age, is ready and capable of helming the United States for the next 4 years and defeating Trump in the 2024 election. The White House and AR Cyber, on the other hand, believe the country saw an illusion. One of Biden's five known body doubles, I thought there were four, a freshly hatched clone or a real deal, a well-rested Biden fueled by copious amounts of adrenochrome coursing through his varicose veins. RRN, that's real raw news, has previously chronicled Biden's adrenochrome addiction. I'm on the air, Keith. You got it. I'll announce it. Yeah. RRN has previously chronicled Biden's adrenochrome addiction in April 2021. A Secret Service agent assigned to the Biden Delaware home witnessed Jill administering an adrenochrome infusion to her bedridden, emaciated husband. The cocktail infused him with energy. He sprang out of bed, danced a little jig. Thank Jill and his personal physician for the candy. Biden's word for adrenochrome. Some sources claim Biden had been taking adrenochrome injection and infusions since the 1990s, but RRN hasn't seen proof to substantiate that assertion. Nonetheless, the pharmaceutical's concoction properties are well established. It temporarily bestows extraordinary strength, mental acuity, alacrity, and allegedly heightened sexual prowess and virility. Its side effects are devastating. Adrenochrome is immediately addictive, more so than heroin and crack. It gives diminishing returns. The more one takes, the more one needs to sustain the high. Withdrawal symptoms include schizoid psychosis and unrelenting rage, followed in some cases by intense malaise and systemic organ failure. Only a fresh injection abates rapid deterioration. If the man calling himself Brandon Biden last night was either the authentic Biden or a clone, he displayed unquestionable signs of adrenochrome madness. In his natural state, Biden is a mumbling fool. He can't string four words together without incoherencies. His handlers have him in the basement or in bed by 3 p.m. He can suffer sundowning from Alzheimer's. Adrenochrome alleviates that. As for clones, the deep state hasn't, best we know, found a way to rid the clone of its host ailment. So Biden has dementia, and so would his clones. And a clone would need adrenochrome, too. But the only way to tell for sure is to get a look at the back of the mouth, feet, genitals, which we don't see on television. The other possibility is much simpler, a look-alike in a latex mask. Our cyber, he said, will spend the next day or two scrutinizing footage, comparing what was shown on television to their stored footage. We'll discover the truth soon enough. Let me mention call-in line. You're welcome to call. The number is 608-957-8727. 608-957-8727. I'll be glad to take your calls. Once again, 608-957-8727. A correspondent sent me a comparison of the real Joe with a guy who appeared at the State of the Union. We have been joined by 406 area code. Please, your name and conversation, Keith. Is this you, my friend?
Yeah, it sure is. Good morning, or yeah, still morning.
Good morning. Let me just add one comment. This is from a correspondent who published multiple articles on my blog. My dentist insists this is not Biden who has expensive veneers. My dentist says this guy has bad teeth and a different facial structure, eye color, earlobes, shorter nose, less prominent chin, etc. Every member of Congress knows they were listening to a fake. He doesn't need a cognitive test. He needs a DNA. Sorry for the repetition, but the press keeps everyone ignorant. Better to have commander run for president whose bite is genuine. And let me just add, Danny, we also have, what's strange about this picture, is anything not abnormal, you cannot see the man's eyelashes because he appears to be wearing a mask. And Danny sent a photograph that shows that to be the case. So this is not from the same occasion because the tie differs. Keith, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you had me going there with the Iranian coming in the States here over in Miami there. But you know what, Jim? You know, I'm a realist. So when I hear the news and stuff, it's like I just replied to Kamala Harris's tweet about restoring Roe versus Wade. And I thought, what is this constant effort of this government making sure that Americans have ways to kill each other? If it's not the vaccines, it's the damn food with the GMOs, vaccines and lettuces, produce stuff, and it goes on and on. And we're supposed to believe that some Iranian or, God forbid, some Russian 4,600 miles away is a threat. You know, this reminds me of when I talked to Lawrence Wilkerson, and we discussed the KIA in Iraq. Well, the KIA only counted those killed in action. It didn't count those that died en route to Bethesda and over in Germany, which amounted to 72,000. I have a Freedom of Information Act on that one. But this government has killed more Americans than Iranians have, than Iraqis have. I mean, the list goes on and on like that. And you're supposed to jump out there and willingly throw your kids to the fire to go out and fight some Russians or something like that, you know? I just can't believe that people are that stupid.
Yeah. I know. It's absolutely stunning stuff.
Yeah, here's another one for you, Jim. Yeah, if they want to teach us LGBT stuff in schools and stuff like that, well, so be it. But why don't they take those kids instead of on some damn gay parade thing like that? Take them down to a hospital AIDS ward and let them see what AIDS is all about and stuff. Or let them go to a fire call where you're responding to one of these AIDS patients that's sitting there with 15 to 20 different vials of pills next to their bed like that as they waste away, defecating all over themselves, you know? Why don't they show those kids the illustrious lifestyle, the LGBT, you know?
Yeah. No, I know, Keith. It's just outrageous, stunning. I can't begin to tell you how disappointed I am with Trump supporting the slaughter of Palestinians, Keith. I mean, I've been a very serious supporter of Trump. I have thought he was really the guy to save the nation. And on multiple counts here, he's a failure. He won't denounce the vax, all those attacks on him for taking pride in the death vax are completely warranted. But I could not be more disillusioned than for him to say, finish the job to the Israelis. I like that he's got a peace plan for Ukraine by cutting off financial support, but it could be done equally effortlessly with the Israelis to stop the slaughter of Palestinians. Your thoughts?
Well, again, the leaked report that the whole Ukraine deal is because of the Khazars. This is all linked back to the Jews and stuff, and this isn't a knocking all Jews. The vaccines, you can Google that. Who are the Jews behind the vaccines? Why would he denounce the vaccines when he can't denounce the genocide over in Gaza when the two are linked together? Or the three, if you want to include Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yes, so, you know, so again, this is like listening to all these U.S. politicians that parrot the same thing about Hamas did this, Hamas. It's all been proven wrong. Max Blumenthal has showed all the different articles where Israeli media has all said there was no rapes, there was no beheaded babies and stuff like that. Yet all these U.S. politicians can completely parrot the same thing. That Hamas did this, and because of that, Israel is justified in its own security, and they're able to do this or do that. You know, I can see how Americans would feel probably in the early years that, well, the Comanche did this, and so because of that, we're justified in wiping out the entire Native American race like that because it's our country. Well, wait, you stole it. Well, that's the same premise of Gaza, isn't it?
Sure, of course.
I'm a realist.
And this brilliant UK barrister before the International Court of Justice, Ralph Wilde, just laid out the case that Israel doesn't even have a legal justification for its existence by virtue of a mandate from the League of Nations having been financed by the Balfour Declaration. Where the League guaranteed the right of return to Palestinians, that their security and their safety and the land of their birth was their entitlement, and that Israel did not have the right to set them aside. I mean, this is all so outrageous, Keith, and it's so clear-cut when you hear the arguments and the evidence is laid out before your eyes.
Well, it's outrageous to the point where if you like when they want to quote Amalek from the first five books of the Bible, that's fine. But if they're going to do that, remember, the nation of Israel was promised all this stuff if they kept God's commands. Well, they didn't. And that's why there was a new covenant. And that's why in the new covenant it says there's neither Greek, Jew nor Gentile. Anyone who was willing to serve the Lord and stuff and accept Jesus as their Savior, that was what qualified them. They were the new Israel. It wasn't some block of people that think, I mean, you can Google this right now. Israel's the least religious country in the world. Most of them are atheist. And you can tell that by the lifestyles they live. You know, homosexuality is a Jewish tradition. All the pedophiles, when they get caught here, they run to Israel, you know. Tel Aviv has the annual Mecca of the gay pride, stuff like that. Does that sound like what Hebrews would have been doing during Moses' time?
It is grotesque.
Yeah. And then, of course, because they can't assimilate into our lifestyle, they have to change our lifestyle to blend in. So they bring in the transgenderism, the multiculturalism, all the immigrants and stuff, you know, and they destroy our culture to blend with theirs. And then they want their own back there in Israel where they can have borders. They can have their racist views and stuff about whether it's Muslims or what like that, you know. They can do everything. But for us, if we do it, well, you're a white supremacist or something like that. You know, it's all fraud.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely, Keith. And
it's like the wall over in Israel. The wall in Israel and Jordan, those are both built by American tax dollars. And remember when Trump was to build his wall, where did the contract go? Well, to an Israeli firm. Where's the wall? Did they abscond with that money too?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I can't imagine why anyone, if they know the facts, would have any remote interest in supporting Democrats. And of course, we know they stole the. Go ahead, Keith. Yeah.
Well, like right now, they're relabeling these Palestinian demonstrations as pro-Hamas. See, and now they're having the cops all over the world bust up these pro-Hamas things like that because they're supporters of Hamas. Because, again, if you're a Palestinian and you voted for your government, which was Hamas, which was backed up by Israel and the United States, but anyway, if you voted for them, well, then you're all equally guilty. And you should all be killed. Well, if that goes through, then that should be the same thing with the U.S. and their wars and the U.S. terrorism around the world, that Americans are legitimate targets of others because they voted for the Democrat or the Republican that was in office at the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, it's a sleight of hand. You know, it's stretching the word. It's giving a spin that is unjustified but politically advantageous for the bad guys. I just can't believe Trump comes out and says, finish the job. To me, that is just as disgusting as it gets. The guy is a moral cretin, Keith.
Well, there's another one where he was giving one of his speeches, and I don't watch these speeches. I just saw a clip on Telegram about it. But Trump was giving, you know, how he does his own platitudes about how I did this, I did that. He has that eye problem, as my mom used to call it. But one of his followers said, yeah, and you got rid of ISIS, too. Well, no, he didn't, because if you remember that when the U.S. did this massive strike over there in retaliating for the three black slaves that got killed there with no chains in the U.S. military on that illegal base there in Syria, that ISIS went to work and started attacking the Syrians again. So apparently ISIS is still, well, of course they still are. They're up there in the Ukraine. The FSB just caught six of them ISIS over in Russia. These are CIA terrorists. Everything's a lie, you know?
I think that's right, Keith. Everything is a lie. If our government asserts it's about an important and complex controversial issue, you can be, with a high confidence, assured what they're saying is false, deliberately false, meaning it is a lie. They know better, but they want to deceive you.
Yep. Well, imagine all those politicians, actors, all the stuff that got there say, hey, get the jab, you know, it, like Rachel Maddow there sitting there. It's 100% safe. You know, if you get the jab, you can't pass it on like that. Of course you can't. You're dead. That's like that. You were talking earlier about the Holocaust, and I was listening to E. Michael Jones talk about that, where they asked that chat GPT thing about how long does it take to burn a human body, and it gave out the answer like that. And then they asked how many people were died during the Holocaust, and it came out 6 million. And then it said, well, how long would it take to burn 6 million bodies like that, you know, in the time frame of such and such? And the app goes blank on that because it won't answer it, see, because this is all pre-programmed answers in there. And they're really pushing this AI stuff to where we can't even exist without talking to each other. We have to go and, you know, it's like instead of talking to your grandfather or something like that about how it was during the Great Depression and stuff, you're supposed to go to one of these apps. Now, I remember sitting on my grandpa's being bounced on his knee, listening to him talk about the Great Depression, which we're about ready to head into like that, you know, or probably be worse because of the amount of debt and everything. But they don't want you consulting actual actual history books and stuff like that. That's why Wikipedia was invented, as you yourself have said. It constantly changes, like when they started this Azov stuff, all of a sudden Stefan Bandera was a hero, you know. Well, he's a Nazi though, but he's a hero, you know. And that's why all these guys in Ukraine worship this hero over there, yo. But if you realize it, though, well, Ukraine is the gay nightclub of the world over there. Well, real Nazis wouldn't have had the gays and stuff. They would, like you mentioned earlier, they locked up the Jews, the homosexuals, Jehovah's Witnesses, the political dissidents, you know. They didn't put up with any of that stuff. But today it's a freebie thing. This communist collectivism has infiltrated everything. So they control all the damn terrorist groups. They control all the governments. And they've got you believing this, that it's, you know, like Spock, you know, the good of the one outweighs the good, does the good of the one outweigh the good of the many. You know, think of granny. You're always supposed to think in that group setting, group think. It's nothing about individuality, unless it comes to when it's an agenda like My Body, My Choice, where a woman can legally kill her own baby, which is rude to me. But anyway, but that's how it works there, see? But if you want to say, well, I don't, under My Body, My Choice, I don't want to use that same premise when you say, no, I don't want any vaccine like that, you know, My Body, My Choice. Oh, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to go out and see your grandma or grandpa at the hospital. You can't go out and eat. You can't do anything like that, see? So why is it's okay when you're killing a baby, but not when you're sitting there trying to save your own life?
Yeah, I agree. The Democrat inconsistency on this issue, they would have been admired and applauded if they'd been consistent and rejected the jab mandates, which I understand had no technical legal force, but where the private companies, even the schools, were implementing them as though they did. And you couldn't even register for classes at colleges and universities across the country unless you'd had your jab. I mean, it was just outrageous. I had lunch Saturday, just 2 days ago, with a friend who was forced to take the jab in order to remain employed. I mean, just stunning, Keith.
Yeah, do you see the four-year-old kids getting these turbo cancers? Where in our entire life, you're 83. You know, when suddenly in our lives have we suddenly heard that kids are getting turbo cancer at 4 years old after getting vaccines because they had to go to school, and you can't go to school unless you get vaccinated?
Yes. Yes.
It's murder.
It is. It's evil incarnate. And there's Trump still taking credit for the facts. I'm just embarrassed. I mean, that is so bad. What's wrong? What's wrong with the guy, Keith?
Well, if you research what a psychopath is, usually it starts with the inflated ego all the time. I mean, you know, if you want to support Americans, that's like going over to Jeffrey Dahmer's house and having ribs with him like that and taking home the spoils of your dog, you know. You know, but, you know, hell, he's an American. Let's support him. It's the same thing with Bill O'Reilly saying you can't support our troops and shut up. Forget the fact they killed a million Iraqis over a lie, you know. Forget that, you know.
I thought Trump was smart enough that he would come out and denounce a jab, admit he made a mistake, and claim he's going to track down those responsible and have them prosecuted. If he can claim he can shut down the Ukraine war by cutting off American aid to Zelensky, why can't he proclaim he's going to shut down the slaughter of Palestinians by cutting off American aid to Netanyahu? He ought to be consistent, Keith.
I'll find you the video, Jim, where he's asked about Ukraine again. And in it, he says that basically said he'll threaten Russia.
Nah.
He didn't say anything else. Yeah. They ask him, well, what do you mean, the fact with Russia? He says, well, it'll end. And that's how he left it like that, you know. And they said, well, what do you mean it's going to end? He says, it'll end. In other words, he's going to exert American power to tell Russia to back off all this stuff like that.
Nah,
and, of course, remember, Ukraine is a Jewish project.
Yeah. Well, that can't be his plan because Russia is not going to be affected. I mean, the U.S., the U.K., France, they're all already there. They're already fighting Russia and Ukraine. They're not admitting it, but they're
Yeah, Poland's there now, too.
Yes, of course.
I got an email back from one of my spook friends yesterday, and I gave him my hypothesis about what I thought was going on, and he agreed with me that World War III is basically going to be to help cover up the vaccine deaths and stuff because millions will be dying and stuff, and that way it won't point back to everything else like that. But I gave him an entire list of what I thought, and he agreed with it. So I think that's where we're at.
That's very damn interesting, Keith. Very damn interesting. Yeah, because this the vax has a delayed effect. It destroys your immune system. That means whatever lingering problems you have that were being contained by your immune system are now free to run rampant. But it takes many of them, you know, a couple of years to manifest. So we get deaths from all these different causes that all had the common cause of the removal of the immune system. Keith, thank you. Thank you for calling. I'm delighted to hear from you.
All right, my best to you.
Thank you. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Recording stopped.
Join me in the Brian Ray Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Roux Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.